making Diesel and Kenzo appear. The news reporter explains a whistleblower has verified the business has been stealing from the city and importing drugs, with informants, which they call local dealers, confirming they are their suppliers. I turn off the TV and glance over at Roxy, who is examining her nails with a grin on her face. Love, how the bloody hell did you do that? Kenzo gawks. He looks at me in shock. Did you know? I shake my head and Roxy turns and stares at us.
You aren't the only ones with friends. The one who reported their business? He comes in all the time to complain about his wife. Loves Bourbon and owed me a favour.
She shrugs.
I did promise him a job here, though, seeing as though he's lost his now. It probably won't stick for long, but it will shut them down for a while and drag their name through the mud.
The dealers? I ask with a frown, while Diesel laughs maniacally.
Ah, Wheels and Timmy, yeah, good boys, live with them for a while on the streets. They had cops breathing down their necks anyway, so this helped throw them off and to their suppliers.
She wiggles her brows.
I promised they wouldn't be arrested, and if they did, we would get them out. Problem?
I just stare at her, unsure what to say. Holy shit, darling, that's fucking incredible. I swear, I'm way too goddamn hard right now. Kenzo laughs. Garrett even grins. Baby, you are definitely one of us, you cruel bitch. She winks at him as Diesel swoops in and kisses her hard.
Told you, Viper, through and through.
They all look at me as I just stare at her and she tilts her head with a grin.
Your plan was better, but attacking from every angle will keep them running and give you time to take them down.
She shrugs. Love. I shake my head and crook my finger at her. She slides closer and I cup her chin, her eyes blown a little with desire, those lips parting. You're a genius, I murmur, as I lean down and brush her hair behind her ear. Keep doing things like this and we might start to think you don't hate us at all, that you even like us, I tease. She snorts and pulls from my grip, throwing her hair over her shoulder.
Don't get cocky, I was bored and this was fun, that's all. I still hate you.
I smirk at her, running my eyes down her body. Is that right? Still sticking to that old lie? Diesel sidles up behind her, smirking now too.
Little bird, I don't think you hate us at all.
She narrows her eyes and then spins, smashing her knee into his junk. He falls to the floor laughing, even as he winces and covers his cock. The idiot loves it. She grabs his hair and tucks his head up, staring down at him like a fucking queen.
Don't go annoying me. We both know that will only end up with you bleeding again.
She looks over at us then, not afraid even in the least, hoping we will push her, get her all riled up.
Anyone else want a reminder?
She zones in on Garrett.
Want to go for round two?
He grins at her. You couldn't handle me, baby. Remember what happened the first time?
When you had to ask your cock?
She retorts sweetly, and he booms out a laugh. My phone rings, and I answer it as she threatens Kenzo next, a smile on my lips. It's done. It won't hold for long, but it's long enough to send a message. You were right about those papers, though. We're on our way to secure 10 employees and 5 family members. Good. I hang up and look back at her. Stop teasing them, love. We have work to do. She strides past Kenzo, who leans in.
You love us, admit it.
She socks him right in the face, and he falls back to the chair, laughing even as blood pours from his nose. Shaking out her hand, she storms up to me, her eyes alight.
If I had my fucking gun...
Yes, well, that's why you don't get weapons. You have a tendency to use them. I smirk as I wrap an arm around her. Come on, you're coming with me to a meeting. We'll give those poor bastards a break from you beating them up. She huffs, but lets me lead her away, and when we get to the door, I hear Diesel declare,
I'm gonna marry that woman.
She struggles in my arms.
Let me stab the bastard.
Laughing, I toss her over my shoulder. Behave, or I'll let him play with you. God knows, he might even marry you without telling you. She freezes then.
Fucking animals. Stupid motherfucking snakes.
I smack her ass and she yelps. Unless you want me to fuck you in the middle of a board meeting, enough with the language, brat. When we're in the elevator, I drop her to her feet and she glares at me. Such a fucking fighter, our girl. Doesn't mean I've forgiven her for walking out, but it's a start.
What's the meeting?
She looks down at the see-through shirt then, and at me. With the board, we are expanding. It's boring stuff now that we have a few days to deal with the triad and put a solid plan in effect, but we still have to run our everyday business. Prove their attack didn't affect us. I shrug.
and I'm coming half-naked. Why?
She sighs, crossing her arms. I don't tell her, it just presses her nipples tighter to the material and makes my mouth water. Because I hate them and get bored. With you there, I might enjoy it.
Ryder, you can see my vagina, she points out.
Running my eyes down her form, I smirk. Can you? What a shame. Might rouse the old bastards enough to get stuff done.
Uh-huh. Or give him a heart attack.
Leaning closer, I cage her in. Own it, love. You do everything else. If you're good, I might even let you beat Diesel up later. Like you could stop me. We both know that crazy bastard will be waiting. She smirks, but tosses her hair over her shoulder before eyeing me.
Fine, give me your jacket.
I'll do as I'm told, and she slips it on, rolling back the two long arms. She doesn't bother buttoning it, but it covers her chest enough that you can't see her breasts, to my disappointment. And she looks somewhat dressed. What a shame. I am telling you, no one will notice. I roll my shoulders back as we stop.
Yeah, how?
She scoffs. I smirk and wrap my arm around her shoulders as it opens onto the top floor we use for meetings. There are a few staff members up here, but as soon as we exit the elevator, they quickly look away.
Because they wouldn't dare look at you, I murmur,
as I stride to the conference room. They are all there, 10 men and 3 women, sitting around the table waiting for me. I stroll in and take the seat at the head of the room. Roxy drags a chair close and sits next to me, her legs going up and onto the table, bare. I grab the file and flip through it. Anyone who even so much as looks at Roxanne will be fired on the spot. I warn casually. I hear uncomfortable shifting and a quick cough, but when I look up, all eyes are very purposely locked on me. Begin.
Sir, our sales have increased over the last quarter, and since our profit has doubled with pharmaceuticals, we are looking to buy out our competitor and expand that way.
One of the females starts. Rachel? Do it, I nod. Next. A plump man next to her coughs nervously, his face red.
We have managed to get the permits we need to build the new tower.
He keeps glancing at Roxanne, and I hold up my hand as I glance down at the report. You're fired, I tell him without looking up from the numbers.
So what?
He sputters, his face red and mottled. You looked at my woman, you were fired. I want you gone in the next hour. I look to the woman next to him. You, tell me what he was incapable of sharing.
The permits are secured. We begin building at the end of the month.
She rushes out instantly. Good. What is your position? I query as the man storms from the room.
I was his vice CEO.
She tilts her head back proudly. Not anymore. Welcome aboard, CEO. Make them aware you will need his wage and benefits immediately. I nod and move on. We go around the room with no more issues, and Roxanne watches it all until we get to the last man. We have secured properties across the city for your new venture into the catering and bar business. I nod. Good. That will all be going through Roxanne here. She's in charge. I feel her staring at me and wink over at her. Roxas is included in that. You may do whatever you wish. Make them profitable, I'm sure. I look over at the man and he grins. Reed. Reed here can help you with whatever you need. He looks at her then, and I watch him carefully, but he keeps his eyes locked on her face. It's a pleasure to work with you. I've seen Roxas, and it has a rustic appeal everyone is searching for now. I believe with your vision and knowledge, we will have some amazing establishments. Her eyes widen as she looks him over.
You're too clean, kid. Lose the tie, and then we can talk.
I chuckle, unable to help myself, and she leans in closer.
Also, you ever get drunk? You look way too young.
He nods nervously as he loses the tie. Once or twice I've been busy with university.
Good. First things first, go get trashed. You want to run a bar, you gotta know what sells, what they want. Go find it out.
She directs, effortlessly. She might not realise it, but Roxanne is a natural-born leader. She has all the requirements and doesn't scare easily. She will be an added bonus to our company. Dismissed, I call, and they all talk among themselves as they quickly collect their bags and folders and go to leave. But Reed hesitates, looking at Roxanne again.
Ma'am, fuck, don't call me that, it's Roxy.
He grins then, relaxing. Roxy, would it be possible if I could present some ideas as well? She smiles at him.
Hell yes, I haven't got a clue, kid, so you're my go-to man. He seems to puff up at that and finally leaves. Roxas? She asks, her eyebrow arched.
It's your bar, I shrug.
Now you can do whatever the fuck you want. Start a franchise, I don't care. Make your own money. Want to build a casino? Do it. Want a whole goddamn island? Just ask.
She shakes her head and I lean over, covering her mouth. Our money is yours now. Plus, I invested some of your own from Roxas' profits, and you have more than you think.
Get used to it, love. I got to admit, that was hot as hell watching you.
She laughs, leaning closer as I relax back in my chair.
Grabbing her, I drop her onto my lap, and she rests back against the table, my suit jacket parting to show her rosy, perky nipples peeking through the shirt.
Was it? I press, my hands stroking up her thighs. She nods, letting me push up the shirt.
Fuck yes. All in charge and in control. You should see how scared they were of you. It's mental. So, all this business before dinner, what now?
Now?
I'm going to fuck you on this table, Miss CEO. And then we're going to take down the triad, I smirk.
She laughs as I push up the shirt until it bunches under her breasts.
Sounds good. Get to work.
40. Roxy. D is in his den. Go see what he's up to, will you? Kenzo requests.
Why me? I'm comfy, I moan, as I curl into his chest as we relax on the sofa while Ryder cooks.
'Cause if I go, he won't listen, but if you do, he will.
He smirks and then pushes me away. I tumble from the sofa with a swat, huffing as I turn on my heel and storm off. I rip open the front door and enter the elevator. The whole building's scanners and security knows me now, so I can leave or go where I want. I ride down to the basement where Dee plays, and when the door slides open, I hear the screams from air. I march down the corridor and lean against the doorway as he taunts a man he has in chains. Who is he? I call over the screams. Dee turns with a wide grin on his face, his chest sweaty and bare, covered in blood.
A threat! Little bird, come play!
I grin, but stay where I am. Nope, this is all you.
Please, please fucking help me, he's crazy!
The man yells, lunging in the chains, and Dee frowns and turns to him.
It's rude to interrupt a conversation,
he admonishes, and quickly stabs him before looking back at me.
Sorry, little bird, he has no manners. Everything okay?
Came to see what you were doing. I miss you. I smirk, and within a second he's on me. He grabs me and tosses me to the wall, his lips crashing onto mine. He tastes like fire and blood, and I can't help but groan.
Hold that thought,
he mutters as the man continues to scream. Panting and leaning against the wall, I watch as Diesel turns, grabs a fucking meat pulverizer, and smashes it through the man's open mouth. With a turn, and what I can only describe as a ninja kick, he smashes it through his skull. It stops the screaming, but it also seems to kill the man, and Dee frowns.
Shit. Well, I guess you're my plaything now,
he murmurs as he turns, his attention locked on me. He heads my way and hoists me onto the toolbox again. We seem to end up in this position a lot. I'm still wearing the see-through shirt, but I put on knickers, not that it makes a difference with these men. He pulls his gun from his side and presses it to my head. The breath catches in my throat, even as my pussy clenches. Ryder and I were interrupted earlier. He almost shot the man, but he had work to do, so I haven't orgasmed in, like, 24 hours, which is just annoying.
Little bird, would you die for us?
He murmurs. I smile. Would I need to? He pulls the trigger, and I don't even flinch, don't even blink. He laughs and presses it to his head.
I would die for you.
He pulls the trigger again, an empty click sounds, and he grins.
Oops, forgot the bullets. Oh well, it can still come in handy.
He presses it to my mouth, and I open up. He slips it inside, and I lick around the metal before he pulls it free, wet with my saliva. Running down my chin, he rips open my shirt until I'm bare to him, his hands covered in blood, yet I'm already wet. I crave his brand of madness. I want it all. With him, I'm free. Nothing will ever shock him, scare him. I could never do something that would disgust him or make him fear me. He would love it, revel in it, and worship me. Gasping at the cool metal of the gun running across my chest and down my belly, I watch him press it into my knickers. Parting my legs, I roll my hips into the metal. He rubs it back and forth across my pussy, wetting it before pressing the barrel to my entrance and leans closer. If I fuck you with my gun, will you come for me? You know I will, I moan, as he pushes the barrel inside me slightly, the foreignness of it making me jerk and moan louder. Dee, please. Ryder already teased me before we got interrupted. Do you want to play or not?
With you, always, little bird.
He groans before ripping away my knickers, his eyes locked on the gun at my pussy. Gliding it back up, he presses it to my clit as he yanks down his trousers and wets his cock at my cream.
Always so fucking wet.
Fuck me already, I snarl. He grins.
You have a filthy mouth. I'm gonna fuck that later.
Without warning, he slams inside me, and I let loose a scream that has him laughing. He wastes no time. We don't make love. We fuck hard and fast, like always. Wrapping my legs around his hips, I lean up and kiss him hard, the stubble across his jaw scraping against me as we desperately fight for release. He keeps the gun pressed against me, a constant threat, a reminder of his power. The hard metal rubs against my piercing almost painfully, yet I can't help but twist my hips to increase my pleasure. More, I demand. With a grunt, he picks me up and slams me back down, his cock filling me again and again. The gun held against my hip as he controls me. His bloody, sweaty chest rubs across mine, his blood-soaked hand gripping my hip meanly. Reaching down, I grab the gun and twist his hand until he releases it. I turn it around and run it across his chest into his mouth. Suck, I demand with a grin. He laughs, stilling as he wraps his lips around the barrel and licks it clean of my wetness. I pull the trigger and he groans, his eyes fluttering shut as he jerks in my pussy. He grabs the gun and hoists it to his forehead and presses into the muzzle. Do it. Shoot me, he breathes as he fucks me. I pull the trigger again and again, and he groans loudly, his face slack in bliss. When I reach between us with my other hand and yank on his nipple hard enough to make him grunt, he stills, his orgasm ripping through him suddenly. He fills me up, panting as he leans into the gun. I laugh, feeling weirdly accomplished. I manage to turn the tables and get him to come. But then his eyes flicker open, and he narrows them on me.
I wasn't done playing, little bird,
he snaps, yanking the gun from my hand, my wrist aching from the abruptness. He pulls from my pussy and presses the gun against my entrance.
I was going to let you come on my cock, but now you're going to do it on my gun.
I gasp, unable to help it. The cool metal feels so strange as he presses it inside me, my pussy slick from my cream and his cum helping it slide. He fucks me with it in shallow, slow thrusts before giving me a few hard ones, keeping me on edge, never knowing which will come. The shape of the barrel makes me groan and my eyes flicker closed. This is so wrong, so fucking deadly. There is a goddamn gun in my pussy, and I'm almost coming just from the thought. He presses his forehead to mine as he fucks me with it, stretching me around the weapon as he shoves it deeper.
What if I loaded it, little bird?
I shiver, clenching around the metal when he grins, licking my lips.
You dirty little bird. I wonder what other weapons you would let me fuck you with.
Oh, God. I'm so close. I can feel it building and building. I try to hold back, wanting this to last, but he doesn't let me. He bites my chin as his thumb rubs my clit, the gun slamming inside of me and making me scream as I come around it. He pulls it out a little and slowly pushes it back in, guiding me through the release before pulling the gun free. I collapse backwards, unable to move as he holds up the glistening gun, meets my gaze, and licks along the barrel, tasting me.
Fuck. This might be my new favorite gun, knowing it's been in your pussy. Every time I use it to kill, every time blood covers it, I'll think of you screaming your release with it buried in your sweet cunt.
Well, fucking shit. What can you say to that? He laughs and pockets it before turning away and cleaning up, giving me time to recover. When we get back upstairs, I can feel the tension. They are all wondering what will come next, how the triad will react and retaliate. This is more than a gang conflict. This is two families going to war. The city is a battleground filled with blood and money, and it's only big enough for one of them. My Vipers. Because they don't plan on losing. They will do anything to win. I will help them. This is my life now. They are my life. I chose this, I want this, and honestly, it feels right. It's bad, but the excitement of it all has me happier than ever, and I finally feel alive. They did this, made me into the woman I usually hide away. They pulled back the curtain and let me shine, unafraid of what they would find. They were freed 3 hours ago. I wonder what they are planning, Kenzo mutters, his eyes on his tablet. Something big. We embarrassed them. Ryder grins. It's happening. I'll say fast downtown just went dark, Garrett snarls as they all get to their feet. It's time to go to war.
41. Garrett. We wait until the next morning and then split up. Ryder is going to check all the businesses, Kenzo the illegal side of things, and Diesel will hit the streets and find out anything he can while I inspect the safe houses. We all take guards with us and are armed to the nines with weapons. Before we depart, we make Roxy promise to stay inside just for today and leave some guards behind. They will be looking for payback, and grabbing one of us won't be easy, but we still have to be careful. I ignore my fury at how close they got to us. The hits come way too fast. They never planned to make a peace. They have been building this up to take us down. We let their families live, and this is how they repay us. I'm going to kill them all. Taking the armored car, we drive to the safe house that was hit last night. I had Tony and a few others go straight over after it happened, but I need to see it for myself as well. First the old house, then this. How the fuck are they getting this information? Ryder is stressed as well. He wants the rat and he wants them now. I can't wait to see what Diesel will do to them when we find them. The ride to the safe house doesn't take long. We keep them running for any of our employees or even us if the need calls for it. We also have 5 escape plans, 6 now, thanks to Roxy. When you're the most powerful people in the city, you sure as shit have a target on your back and gotta know when to run. But this isn't one of those times. This? This is just another fucking lesson to assholes who think we're weak, who think we're nothing more than Ryder's daddy's money. We pull up outside the safe house. I let them get out first, even though it chafes me, and with my hand on my gun I slip out after them as they wrap their knuckles on my door. I keep my eyes peeled, looking everywhere at once, checking doorways, other cars, rooftops and windows. You can never be too careful. And with Roxy expecting me home, I find myself wanting to live. The safe house itself is a tiny bungalow tucked between 2 other bungalows on the suburban side of the city. It's small and unassuming, just how we like it. We have a whole hotel of tiny houses spread across the city. You can never be too careful after all. The guys go before me as we head down the old, cracked driveway and past the overgrown garden to the yellow peeling front door. The handle is broken, the lock too, and I tap their shoulders to let them know I'm behind them. They go in first and I draw my gun. Even though Tony has already been here, it could be a trap. We sweep into the house and split up to check it out. The one bedroom and bathroom are clear, the living room and kitchen too. Holstering my gun, I frown as I look around. The place is trashed with things ripped from walls, dents and cracks in the plaster, and furniture turned upside down. It appears like they were looking for something, but we don't keep anything at safe houses, so this is all a threat. A reminder they are there and angry, that they can get to us. Curling my fists into my sides, I stomp through the mess, kicking aside the broken sofa. Check on all the other safe houses. I want to report back. Find whoever the fuck is betraying us, I snap. Grabbing my phone, I dial Ryder. Speak, he snarls, obviously having as much fun as me. It's trash. They fucking knew exactly where to go. We need to find the fucking bastard who was giving them this information, I growl, smashing my fist into the wall. I fucking know that. I'm trying. Go check out the other houses, he orders before hanging up. I pocket my phone. He's stressed as well. We can all feel it. Before, it wouldn't have mattered. It would have been fun, a game to destroy them. But now we have Roxy to think about, and we don't want her caught in the crossfire. My phone vibrates as I'm slipping it into my front jeans pocket, so I yank it out and read the message. Kenzo, no luck here. Fuck! Putting it back, I circle my fingers at the guys. Let's move out. We're checking all the houses until we find someone, and when we do, we're gonna fucking kill them! They nod, and we rush off to search the next safe house. 5 safe houses later, and I'm pissed. 3 have been hit. But there's no sign of whoever did it, or whoever told them about it, because we all know it's the Triad, a revenge hit. Maybe they were hoping they would find someone at one of them. I'm not sure. Either way, I want to smash someone's face in. I have to hold back the urge, my body vibrating with tension and anger, the feeling I get when I'm winding up to fight. Breathing through it, I try and tamp it down for as long as I can. Suddenly my phone rings, and I answer it without looking. What? I snarl into it as we head to the next safe house. How fucking rude. I was going to be nice for once, but... She laughs. Roxy. I relax instantly at the sound of her voice, a smile coming to my lips. You okay, baby? I ask, my voice softer now. I see the 2 men in the front shifting, so I glare at the backs and they hunch.
Yeah, you, big guy. I got worried when I hadn't heard from any of you.
She sniffs. You're bored, aren't you? I chuckle.
Out of my fucking mind.
She groans dramatically, making me laugh harder. Haven't got up to any trouble yet, I query, staring out of the window. All my tension seems to float away for a moment as I imagine her guards chasing her with pale faces, trying to keep up with whatever trouble she's up to.
Pshh, not yet, but it's only 9 in the morning.
She laughs, the sound heading straight to my cock and hardening it.
Though I did order us some new chains to play with.
Her voice goes low and sultry. Fuck me. I groan, closing my eyes for a minute. Baby, I'm in a car with 3 other guys. You can't say shit like that.
Why? You want to chain them up too?
She teases. Behave, I snarl. She scoffs.
When the fuck do I ever behave? Now hurry your big ass up and get home. I'm fucking bored and who knows what I'll do.
She hangs up, snickering. I pocket my phone again, but I feel calmer now. More relaxed and in control. I feel the guys looking at me, so I turn my head and narrow my eyes. Do not even think about her, look at her, or go near her, or I will fucking smash your faces in. They all turn away instantly, and I smirk, even as Tony chuckles from the front. The next safe house is an apartment above a coffee shop, so after we check it and find it trashed, I decide to take a break. I didn't eat this morning, and I found myself missing our usual breakfast dates. When I hated her, or at least tried to, they were the only real times I could be around her without the others catching on to my desire. I could stare at her without them noticing. Sighing, I head inside. One of my guards stays in the car, another stands outside the shop, and the third sits and waits, his eyes scanning everyone. But I do it anyway. It's a habit. And that's when I see her. Her. Here. Staring right back at me. She has on a hood hiding half of her face, but it's her. I would recognize her anywhere. Her lips had turned up in a knowing smirk. Her one cornflower blue eye locked on me. I used to stare into her eyes for hours, wondering if she was my forever. And now she's here. My whole body freezes, my chest and muscles burning as fear and fury pour through me.
Sir?
The woman behind the counter calls in confusion. I'm at the front of the queue. It's my turn, but I can't look away from her. Daphne. The bitch who tried to kill me, who stripped the skin from my chest. My ex-girlfriend. She's sitting in the corner with an untouched mug before her, watching me the same fucking way she used to. An expression I didn't realize was so cold and calculating. The greedy cunt. Until it was too late. Until she had her blade in my chest, carving me to pieces while she laughed. When I woke in the private hospital, the guys were there. They knew where she had run to. She had never gotten far enough to escape us. No place would ever be far enough. I didn't ask. I just told them to take care of it, to make it hurt. To make her suffer for what she did. Because when I peeled those bandages away, I gagged at the sight of my own chest. And I couldn't let the nurses help me wash it. Diesel had to. I couldn't stand their hands on me. And when one tried, I snapped her wrist.
This woman tried to kill me, ruin me. Even managed it for many years. Only now, with Roxy, am I finally starting to live again. Yet she's here, staring at me like nothing happened. How is she alive?
Sir,
comes again, but I turn away and storm right up to her. I want to wring her neck to snap it. But that would be too fast. How did she survive whatever the guys did? It had to be bad, they assured me she was dead. How is she fucking alive? And why do my hands shake? I hide them behind my back as I tower over her table. She tries to play it cool, her hand reaching for her mug. But I see the tremble in them, the fear in her eye. Unlike Roxy, she was always slightly scared of me for what I could do. She was disgusted at my fighting, yet the cold fucking bitch had no issue with my blood. Cunt. My gaze catches on her wrist as her hoodie pulls up with her movement, revealing mottled, burnt flesh. She gasps and yanks her hand under the table, her one eye narrowing on me. Gah, she breathes, you look good, almost fully healed, she smirks.
How are you alive? I seethe,
holding myself back from attacking her. It wouldn't do us any good, but fuck, it's hard. I want to snap every bone in her traitorous body to make her feel the pain I felt, and not just at her betrayal. It wasn't easy, she shrugs, but I had things to survive for. Like a fucking cockroach you can't get rid of, I snarl. And she laughs. The annoying high-pitched tittering sound that used to make Diesel threaten to stab her. That should have been warning enough. They didn't like her, but I was blind. I even protected her from him, let her pull me away from her brothers when she was scared of them. I hurt them. Not that they will ever say it. I know that's why Ryder is so panicked about Roxy, because I couldn't just walk away from them for her. I would do anything she asked. I used to think Daphne would be it for me, that we would settle down and get married. It seemed like the right thing to do, since she was expecting it, dropping hints. Even though I wasn't sure, I got the ring anyway. How was I ever this fucking blind? She is cold, cunning, and a gold-digging cunt. Roxy is so alive, so full of laughter, and if I ever tried to give her money, she would throw it in my face. Her hate, her anger matches mine, her scars mirroring my own. She is my world now, and it only shows me how desperate for love I was to not only fuck this woman, but propose.
Gar, I remember when you didn't want to get rid of me.
She purrs falsely.
Don't fucking call me that,
a growl. Why are you here, in my city? You had to know I would find out and fucking kill you. I sense people staring now. Fucking let them. Let them watch as I wipe this cunt from the face of the planet. Let them fear me. I don't care what they think. There are only 5 people I care about, and they would stand behind me. Fuck, they would hand me the blade.
I hear you have a new little toy. She's cute. Does she know your penchant for pain, or how you like to fuck hard and fast?
Her eyes drop hungrily to my chest, and I slam my fists onto the table.
I bet she doesn't. I wonder, can she even bear to look at your chest?
My lungs are heaving, and I can almost feel the blade carving into me again, flaying me open. Darkness circles me, my demons growing and demanding to be let free. Answer me now. She grins and leans back, and I get sick of the games. I grab the hood and yank it back. My eyes widen as she quickly stands, putting it over her head, but she's not fast enough. I saw what she was trying to hide. Half of her face is gone, melted. No hair, no eye, and her skin looks like dripping wax. No doubt Diesel's handiwork. It makes me grin, and it's not a nice one. Oh, poor little Daphne, can't use your looks to get your way anymore. It's not like you have any other moves, you stupid cunt. Why are you here? I sneer for the last time. I'm a string pulled too tight, ready to snap fierce with the woman I once cared for, the one who almost took everything, and I find myself craving her death. I feel like Diesel, wanting to bathe in it, to watch her blood cover my skin, and then storm back to my girl and fuck her with it across my body.
I have unfinished business, Garrett, with you and your fucking vipers.
She snarls, and pushes closer until she invades my space. I don't move back, even as my head roars at me, my hands itching to grab her and kill her.
You will pay for what you did,
I'm going to be there to watch you fall, she whispers as she leans closer, her red-tipped nails running down my chest. I stiffen at that, my head blurring with anger, and I'm moving before I know it. Grabbing her wrist, I thrust her away, and she hits the wall hard, laughing. And I'm on her in a moment, my hand wrapping around her throat, her eyes widen in fear. For all her bravado, she's afraid. Deathly afraid. Of me, of us. Of what we will do to her. She isn't pulling the strings. She's a puppet. For who? The Triad? Is it possible we have more than one enemy coming at us? No, they have to be working together. They were looking for a weakness, a way to get to us. And they thought they had it with her. But she was never really one of us. She never stayed in our home, never saw our business. She saw what we wanted her to, nothing more. I squeezed tighter, not even using my full strength to hold her in place. I let her see it in my eyes, how easily I could kill her, end her, and no one would care. No one could stop me. But it would be too quick. The noise of the shop around us comes back. People are screaming and I hear them on the phone when a tap comes at my shoulder. Turning with a snarl, I throw her to the floor and meet my guard's eyes. Unless you want to spend hours talking to the police, we need to leave. If you want her taken dead, say the word. We'll organise it and call Ryder to clean up. He doesn't question who she is, doesn't even blink as he says it. I look back at her, but she's scrambling to her feet and straightening her hoodie. She blows me a kiss.
Be seeing you soon, Garrett, and say hello to your girlfriend for me.
Then she's gone, rushing into the scrambling crowd and blending. No, follow her, though, I snap. He rushes off and I stump through the shop, the patrons falling as they try to get out of my way. Their faces are pale and scared as I rip open the coffee shop door and head outside. I grab my phone to dial Ryder and tell him I know who the mole is. But when I dip my hand into my pocket, it's gone. I have a flash of her saddling close to me, her hand stroking down my chest. I was so panicked, so angry, I didn't even think anything of it when I shoved her away. Fuck. She has my phone.
42. Roxy. I'm fucking bored. The only reason I don't leave is because they asked so sweetly. They were not demanding or authoritative. They genuinely needed me to stay. So I do. I never said I would behave, just that I would stay. They should have known better. I do some work. Ryder left me with the contracts and information for the bars he wants to buy or build, so I flip through them, knowing which will be good and discarding those that won't be. He also included Rox's earnings and his investments with the money. It's doing good, more than fucking good. Ryder has an eye for money and investments. The profit has tripled. I have money. More than I know what to do with or need. He knew it would keep me busy for a while, the sneaky bastard, and it does. I'm excited to do something I love. Something good. I make a plan to only hire ex-cons and runaways. People who need it. They will get a good wage, and we can build some accommodations. Give them a second chance at life. Like Rich gave me. That's what I'm going to call it. The Rich Fund. For him. The man who saved my life. The opportunity to create the fund given to me by the men who love me. Who knew this is where I would end up? Not me, when I slept under a bridge, freezing and starving. After I make a plan on that, I find an old Polaroid camera tucked away in Kenzo's room, and I take dirty pictures for them and hide them under their pillows, giggling the whole time. Next, I decide to try and break into their armory because honestly, I want my bat back. My eyes go back to the gun room. It has a hand scanner. I wonder if I could open it. They added my prints to the building. Surely that would include that. Unless it's on a different system. Deciding to try it, I head upstairs and press my hand to the screen, but it flashes red. Motherfucker. Now that I'm thinking about it, I want to know what's inside. I need to. Mischievous urges fill me, the same ones that led to me ripping Ryder's clothes and trashing his car, to leaving dirty pictures under the pillows, to buying that present which is on the way. Fuck it. I wonder. Sneaking downstairs, I grab a knife and head back to the door, trying to jimmy the lock, but it doesn't work. Hey, buff security dude, I call, hanging over the balcony. I need your body. He looks up from the window he was guarding and pales, stumbling away, his hands out as if to ward me off.
Please, please, no. They will kill me. You're very beautiful, but fuck, don't tell them I said that, he begs, his eyes wide.
Laughing, I wave him up. Not in that way, dude. I got four cocks, you think I need more? I won't tell them if you throw yourself into this door for me. He glances at the door and shakes his head.
Hell no, they will murder me.
Nah, they won't. I won't let them. I'll tell them I did it. Come on, big dude, help a sister out, I plead. He looks to the others before sighing and coming upstairs, where he eyes the door.
You want me to break it down?
I could try, be all woman, hear me roar, or I could be super smart and let a big tough guy like you do it for me, I offer sweetly, and he snorts.
You're more manipulative than them. I see why they love you,
he comments offhandedly, before pulling back his foot and kicking open the door. It smashes inwards, the lock dropping to the floor.
I never did that, you didn't see it,
he huffs before wandering downstairs. My phone vibrates and I check to see it's Ryder. I've been texting them all morning. Diesel's last message was a picture of his face covered in blood with the caption, You're sitting on this later, but this is a video call now. With a grumble, I head into his bedroom and flop on his bed, not wanting him to know what I'm up to yet. I answer and angle the phone to see my face. He's in a car, the phone held to his face so I can just see a peek of his suit. His hair is slicked back and his eyes are cold, but when they lock on me, they seem to melt a little. Even through the phone, I can feel his power, his all-consuming interest, and it has me shivering in need. Ryder Viper is a fucking weapon. To my vagina.
Love, what are you up to?
He asks straight away, his deep, husky voice having me clenching my thighs together, and then a knotty thought comes to mind. Smirking at him, I angle the camera down and run my hand over my chest to cup my breasts before trailing down my stomach. He groans as I start to drag my dress up to reveal my thighs.
Love, are you on my bed?
Yes, I laugh, and I'm bored and horny, I tell him as I flash him my thong, parting my thighs as I let him watch me cup myself. He groans and then snaps something off camera. I hear a squeal, then a door. What was that? I laugh, tilting the camera back to see those icy eyes, demanding and tight.
I was not going to let them overhear you, he snarls,
as though it's obvious, his tongue darting out and licking his bottom lip.
Show me again, love. Touch yourself.
Oh, feeling naughty, I laugh.
Now, don't make me ask again, Roxanne, he orders.
Or what? I grin, trailing my hand up my thigh and showing him. You are too far to do anything. He grunts.
Open your thighs, dip your fingers in and show me how wet you are.
Teasing him, I run my fingers across my pussy, pushing aside my thong. If you were here, you could see for yourself.
Don't fucking tempt me, love. Roxanne, do as you're told, he demands.
Gasping, I push my thong further aside, exposing myself to him, and I hear his answering groan.
So fucking wet, he mumbles. Touch yourself. Let me watch.
Arching up, I dip my fingers inside myself where he can see, before circling my clit, wishing it was him.
Make yourself come, love. Let me watch. Then if you're good when I get back, I'll spend all night between your thighs eating your fucking pussy like a starving man.
Imagining it, I rub faster, dipping my fingers inside myself again and fucking my pussy as he watches. I'm aware there are security guards downstairs, but I don't care. Yeah? No punishment? I challenge breathlessly.
Oh, love, there will always be a punishment because you don't know how to behave. You will come at least 5 times before you take my cock into that sweet little pussy. I'll make my brothers watch while you scream and beg for me, fighting me even as you give in.
His dirty words have me moaning loudly as I spread my thighs wider and speed up, rolling and thrusting into my fingers, reaching for that release I can feel approaching, needing it.
That's it, baby girl. Fuck yourself for me. Take your own pleasure. Let me see those fingers inside that greedy little pussy.
My pussy is still a little sore from last night, but I don't care. The pain only adds to it, heightening the pleasure coursing through me. Whimpering, I angle the camera further down and he groans. "Are you touching yourself?" I gasp. He groans. "Like a fucking teenager. We're in a bloody parking garage with my guards right outside, and I'm fucking my hand wishing it was your cunt." I can just imagine it. "Show me," I beg. I look at the screen, watching as he tilts it down. His suit is perfectly in place apart from his exposed cock. It's in his hand, which is squeezing and stroking. The sight of his big, scarred hands wrapped around it have me almost screaming there and then as I come, writhing in the sheets as I almost lose my grip on the phone. "Let me watch," he demands. "Don't you fucking dare drop that phone." Whimpering, I clench around my fingers again, my pussy pulsing before I pull them free of my clinging muscles soaked with my release. Lifting the camera up, I meet his wide, lust-filled eyes with my own and suck my fingers into my mouth, licking them clean. He grunts loudly, his eyes shutting for just a moment before they're open and on me again. That ice is gone, and in its place is the volcano, the violence he hides underneath. "Fucking hell, love. I'll be home in 2 hours. 2 fucking hours, and then that pussy is mine." "Yeah?" I grin, pulling my fingers free. "You'll have to catch me first. I plan on being very bad in the meantime." "1 fucking hour, he snarls. Laughing, I hang up and slip from the bed, my heart slowing down. I clean up in his bathroom before going back out to the armory. I'm not ashamed if they heard me downstairs. Let them. If Ryder was here, I would have fucked him in front of them with no regrets. When it comes to my vipers, I'm helpless to resist. Okay, I made a dare to be bad. So it's a good job we broke into this room. I can almost imagine the punishment now, and I can't fucking wait. They have been too nice recently, and I crave their cruelty. The power. Sauntering into their armory, I whistle as I take it in. This isn't a goddamn room. It's a fucking arsenal. Complete with weapons covering every wall and table, and rows upon rows of guns, swords, knives, grenades, and fucking missiles. Jesus. There is body armor and black cargoes in the corner. God damn, it's like I'm dating John Wick, I mutter as I look around. I wonder if I could get one of them to roleplay being him. I sigh as I trail my fingers across the weapons. I bet Kenzo would, and with that dark hair, he could fit the role. Diesel is a little too crazy to be Keanu. Garrett would just tell me to fuck off, but then fuck me. Ryder would smirk and demand I give him something in return. Bastards. Even as I think that, though, I smile. I find my bat at the back of the room and grip it lovingly, raining kisses across the smooth wood. I missed you, baby, so much. I will never let them take you again. We'll be back to kicking ass soon, I promise lovingly. Just then, my phone goes off. I'm torn between hugging my bat and answering, but when it buzzes again, I place my bat down and yank it out of my pocket. Yes, that's right, bitches. My dress has pockets. Ain't anything better. You can hide snacks and weapons so easily. Mardi fucker. I need your help. Meet me at Hotel Moore's. I reread the text with a frown. If Garrett needs me, it must be serious. Peeking over the balcony, I look at the security dudes. I'm not stupid enough to go without them. He would get Mardi. Yo, big dudes, we're rolling out. Miss, we have been told for you to stay, one of them starts. I hold up my phone. Garrett texted me. He needs our help. Come on, Autobots, unite, I call, making one of them snort. One of them pulls out their phone as I head downstairs. Ryder isn't answering. Okay, we go, but at the first sight of any trouble, we're out of there. I don't want to be killed because of this, he mutters. You got it, big dude. And thanks to your body, I now have some new toys to take. I grin, holding up the guns. He winces. They're going to murder me. Nah, okay, maybe, but they would make it quick. I shrug as I strap on my weapons like a badass. Female John Wick. Lady Wick. Nah, that sucks. I'll come up with a kick-ass name on the way. 43. Roxy. This is probably a bad idea, but I'm aching to get out, to help them. I'm not the sitting-on-the-sidelines type, so I'd jump at the chance. I do, however, bring the security guys as backup and let them call some of the shots to let them think they're in charge. It's cute how flustered they get when I don't listen. I'm also strapped with weapons, guns and knives, some I've stolen. I almost snigger at that. I can't carry my bat discreetly, so I leave her behind. I do pull on the closest pair of heels, though, not wanting to waste time finding my boots, and then we're on the move. The hotel is downtown, and we get caught in some traffic on the way. They continue to try and ring Ryder, but he doesn't answer, which is not surprising, considering he was going into a meeting. We pull up outside, and they frown at it.
I don't like this, one of them mutters.
I sigh, looking around. Maybe you're right. I don't see him anywhere, and no way am I walking my ass into a random building from a text. I'm not fucking stupid. I try to ring him, but it goes to voicemail. Shit. What if something is wrong? What do you want? I get cut off by bullets. Down, one of them screams. I throw myself on the back seat, shielding my head as more bullets fly and glass shatters. I feel it sprinkle over my back, and then it all stops. Pushing myself up, I stare into the front, gasping when I find my guards dead with bullets in their heads. Fuck. Grabbing my gun, I debate getting into the footwell, but if someone rips open the door, I'll be a sitting duck. I crawl across the back seat, open the door, and slip out, using the car for cover. Searching my pockets for my phone, I swear when they come up empty. It must have fallen out. But it's too late to go back for it. I raise the gun, flick off the safety, and wait. I can hear an engine, but it's quiet. And then boots. Peeking under the car, I see four pairs heading straight for me. Fuck. This wasn't random, this was planned. And someone got a hold of Garrett's phone to lure me here. Fucking stupid, Roxy. I hope he's okay, but I don't have time to worry about him. I need to worry about myself and get my ass out of here. I wait until they open the door before I make a break for it, heading to an alley at the side of the hotel. I run as fast as I can, pumping my arms, my old days running from the police as a rough sleeper coming back to me. Fuck. Fuck. I hear boots behind me, followed by their yells. I round the alley and almost scream. There's a fucking fence at the end. Fuck this. I refuse to go down without a fight. Ducking behind a bin, I wait. One of them runs right past me, and I slip out, firing as I go. He crumples easily, and I look back to see three more men in fucking bike helmets coming at me. Taking off again, I aim straight for the fence. I got this. I throw myself at it and start to climb. I slip, cutting my fingers, but I harness the pain with a growl and drag myself up. A shot goes wide and I flinch, but carry on going as they shout. Don't fucking shoot! We need her alive! Well, that's something at least. Throwing my leg over the top, I yell as a hand grabs my ankle. I look down into the helmet and use the gun like a bat, smashing it across the visor. It shatters, and he tumbles from the fence to the alley below. Using the distraction, I heave myself over the top and land on my knees, forcing myself quickly to my feet, my heels catching in a fucking hole. I don't have time to stop, however, because they're coming. I can hear the clink of the fence as they climb it. My breathing is loud as I push into a sprint, but I can still hear them behind me, their boots loud. Hell fucking no. I'm not going down like this. Not now, not ever. I didn't survive all this shit to die in a goddamn alley. Stop, comes the yell. I snort, like that will work. I pump my arms harder. The alley breaks up ahead into what looks like a parking lot. From there, I can run into the road, lose them in traffic, and get away. But they are too close, my heels slowing me down. An arm grabs me. Not bothering to scream, knowing no one will help me, I stomp on his foot and kick back. He falls away and I turn, firing as I go. He goes down hard, and remembering my stance, I lock my arms and fire at the other two, but they duck behind more bins. The slide locks back, empty, and I curse, knowing I don't have any other bullets with me. I have knives, but they will have to be close for that. I drop the gun and take off again. I can hear them catching up. They are too fast. I won't have a chance to get to the road, so I turn into the parking lot and duck behind a car, breathing heavily as I try to stay quiet while I crouch. Reaching down, I palm two blades. If they thought I was going to be an easy target, they have another thing coming. Someone will have heard the shots and the police will be here soon. I just have to take down these two assholes and get free and back to the guys.
Go that way, one of them screams. They're splitting up, which makes it easier for me. I crouch walk to the boot of the car and peer around it. One of them is heading the other way, but one is looking around and under cars growing closer to me. Steadying my breathing, I hold tight, waiting for the right moment to pounce. I only have one shot at this. They are bigger and have weapons. I don't have my bat or familiar surroundings, so I need to make this quick. Come on, motherfucker, just a bit closer. Tightening my hand on the blade, I wait for him to round the back of the car, his head turned slightly away. Then I strike, fast and low. He doesn't even get his gun up before the blade is in his leg. He drops with a scream as I yank it out and with a war cry, land on his chest and stab him again and again. When he stops jerking, I grab his gun and turn to get the other guy, but I'm too slow. Too fucking slow. I see the butt of the pistol coming just seconds before it hits me in the face, and then everything is dark. God damn, the back of my head hurts. I lie still as I feel something moving. Oh wait, that's me. I'm moving. What the fuck happened? The text. The attack. I keep my breathing even, like I used to when I was a kid and hoped my dad wouldn't realize I was awake. My head is pounding and my face feels sore. That bitch better not have broken my nose with his gun. How goddamn rude. Ignoring the pain, something I learned years ago, I focus on where we are. There's a hard but soft seat beneath me, and I'm leaning against something cold and vibrating. There's a purr beneath me, and the sound of horns surrounding us. We are in a car. I crack open one eye, noting I'm propped against the window in the back seat. I daren't turn my head, but I can feel someone next to me, someone big. I can also see two men in the front, one driving and one in the passenger seat. The radio is on low, an upbeat pop song pounding through the speakers to match the pounding of my head. Okay, three guys. I've taken more than that, and I don't mean sexually, though that's true now, I guess. Three big guys, packing, no doubt, but I have the advantage. They want me alive. I want them dead. My hand is trapped awkwardly between my body and the car door, so, shifting slightly, I pull it free. I freeze when I feel the guy in front glance over to check on me. Only when he turns back do I move again, slowly, so as not to draw attention. I run my hand down my thigh. Shit. They took my weapons. I'm betting all of them, the hensy bastards. Diesel is going to be pissed. It doesn't even cross my mind that Garrett was in on this. If he wanted me dead, he would have killed me. No, someone got to him. I just hope he's okay. Okay, no weapons. Think, Roxy. Fuck, my head hurts. This is the worst hangover ever, and I didn't even get the buzz of the alcohol and bad regrets to make it worth my while. Moving my legs slightly to get into a more comfortable position, I freeze. I have my heels. My fucking heels. The bitches are sharp. I wonder. We're slowing down, and I know we must be running out of time. God knows how long I've been out for. It's now or never. The worst that will happen is I end up getting knocked out again, right? I shift again until I can reach down and grab a heel, then I pull it off and hold still, taking a deep breath. Now or never, Rox. Flopping my head to the side, I open my eyes and lock them onto the guy opposite me who's staring out the window. He turns his head, undoubtedly feeling my movement, so I burst into action. I hear a yell, but I ignore it, praying they need me alive more than they want to shoot me. I stab using the heel, my hand gripping the shoe. I drive it into his chest and neck, and as he turns his head to look at me with wide eyes, I drive it into his eye. It sticks from the socket as he screams. The car whips from side to side. Grab her! I hear them yelling from the front. Reaching across the guy who's trying to pull the heel free, I grab his gun and knife and unclick his seatbelt. I kick open his door and push him out. He screams as he hits the pavement, and I blow him a kiss before spinning to see the two men in the front. The one in the passenger seat swears as he tries to get a needle ready while reaching back for me. Fuck that. I fumble with the gun and accidentally pull the trigger, gazing with wide eyes as the man in the front seat screams as it hits his leg. Oops, sorry, I offer, as I grab his head and using the knife slice it across his throat.
I don't give myself time to think on what I'm doing. I'm in survival mode. It's me or them. In this life I now live, blood was bound to cover my hands. You either get dirty or you die. Only the driver is left now. He swears as he pulls his gun, done with me, one hand on the wheel. Looking out the front window, I see we're on a dual carriageway, and it's busy, which helps, because we have to go slow. Probably 30 miles per hour. Shit. This is going to hurt. Grabbing the gun, I point it at his head and fire. He slumps forward, the ringing loud in my ears from the shot going off in such close proximity. Groaning, I slide between the seats and clutch the wheel, leaning over his body to try and swerve us around the other cars, but I can't get the angle right. We catch the end of a van, and it spins us. Screaming, I hold on as we spin and spin, my stomach revolting, and then we stop. It's all quiet for a moment as I fall into the back seat, until it's not. A car hits us from the side and plows us into the middle barrier. We hit it and flip. It happens in mere seconds, but it feels like a lifetime as I roll around in the car. I manage to grab the seat, and when we finally land on the roof, I drop onto it with a crunch. Groaning, I look down at my body. Holy fucking shit. I'm okay. Fucking hell, that was goddamn lucky. The back door is warped and won't open, so I kick at it, bracing myself on the roof and giving it all my strength. After a fourth kick, it opens, and I crawl out onto the broken glass of the road, cutting my hands and arms. Staggering to my feet, I lean against the car. This side of the road isn't that busy, and the people who are passing are gawking at me. One even stops, but I can't hear anything. My ears are ringing, my body is in agony, and my head is pounding so hard I have to turn and vomit. Fuck, I'm worse than I thought. Stumbling forward, away from the car in case it explodes or some shit, I walk into the lanes, but my body is done. I can't help but fall to my knees. Whether it be shock or injury, I don't know, but it refuses to listen, and my vision is swimming. Move, Roxy, move! But I can't. Panic winds through me, pushing back some of the numbness that's threatening to swallow me whole, but it's not enough. A noise catches my attention through the haze and I turn my head. Two black cars have stopped near our wrecked one. Men pour from it, heading straight to me. There are more than I'll ever be able to handle, but that doesn't mean I'm going down without a fight. I stumble to my feet, my fingers numb as I grab a piece of broken glass, the closest thing I have to a weapon. Bring it, assholes! I don't know if I scream it out loud or in my head, but they do. They come right for me. I try to stab with the glass, but it's slow, my body too goddamn sluggish. They knock my arm away, and my fingers spasm, making me drop the glass. I kick, I punch, but it's like my movements are listless, too slow to make contact, and there are too goddamn many of them. This is going to hurt a lot. I know it. So I brace for it, waiting for the pain. But it's a quick one, barely a pinch. And when I turn my head, I see the needle they are pulling away. The bastards cheated. At least they didn't hit me in the face again.
44. Ryder. We should look at the numbers and compare them. I'll zone out of the meeting, wondering what Roxy is up to. I promised her 1 hour, but it's been an hour and a half. I'll have to find a way to make it up to her. I almost smirk, thinking of all the ways I could, each of them involving her naked and coming beneath my tongue. My phone vibrates for the 100th time, so I turn my chair and discreetly check it. This meeting is important, and if it goes well, we're expanding into other cities, both legitimately and otherwise. Unknown. Roxy is gone. Unknown. They got her, Rye. Two texts. Two fucking texts. And they destroy my world. Fury like I've never felt before flows through me. That ice I have cultivated around me for so long cracks. And the lava flows through, burning everything in its path. They took my girl. Our girl. I stand, ignoring the questions fired at me, and storm from the conference room. My phone already to my ear. Tell me everything, I snap. I listen as Garrett explains, his voice tight and angry.
I hear Deason in the background screaming at someone, and then gunfire. We followed the trail of bodies to a car park and saw the tire tracks. They must have grabbed her there. It goes quiet for a moment as I leap down the stairs of the building, taking them two at a time. Right, fuck, she put up a real fight. There are bodies everywhere.
Garrett!
Diesel snarls, and there's a moment of silence before Garrett swears.
What?
I demand. Watch what I'm sending you, he growls. I pull my phone away and stop on the stairs, my hand gripping the railing as the video loads. I watch it once, then twice. That pit in my stomach grows. Those demons escaping until I'm nothing but a man possessed. They hurt her. I watch her crawl from the wreck of the car, the CCTV from the highway zooming in on her. She stumbles away with blood dripping from her head, her hands, and her arms. She only has one shoe on and her face is pale, her eyes fuzzy as she falls to her knees. I watch again as they come at her. She still fights, trying to take them down. That's my fucking girl, a fighter to the end. But she doesn't see the needle coming. I watch her fall, and this time they catch her and carry her back to the cars. Then they are gone. Breathing heavily, my muscles shaking with the need to kill people, I put the phone to my ears. Track the cars! Diesel's new friend is already on it. He pulls the phone away from his mouth.
He can't work if he keeps stabbing him,
he snaps and then comes back. I can't get hold of Kenzo. He gets no signal in the basement of Diamonds. Get him?
On it, I snarl, and the line goes quiet.
Garrett, we kill them.
Too fucking right, he retorts. Anyone who touched her dies horrifically.
And the triad?
We are going to fucking burn them alive for taking our girl.
I hang up and send a message to my driver and the guards downstairs, so when I make it into the lobby, they're there. The car is idling outside, not getting quickly.
Diamonds, now, I demand.
First things first, get my brother.
Then they are dead men.
They feared my father, but they should fear me more. Roxanne is mine, she owns us, and they took the one thing we will do anything to protect. They kicked the goddamn viper's nest, so now they get the fangs. This city will run with blood before tonight when I find them. I will make them scream for every finger they ever put on her. I dial a number for their restaurant, knowing they will get it. They will understand.
You took something of mine.
Something precious. There's no use denying it. They already know what they have. It's the only thing keeping her alive right now. I'm going to let the streets run red with your people's blood until I get her back, and then I'm going to kill you all, starting with your families, your wives, your sons and daughters, even your parents. Only then, when everything is burning and destroyed around you, will I kill you. You fucked with the wrong family. After I leave the message, I hang up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I repeat it again and again, trying to stay calm, but I can't.
It doesn't work. Fuck the calm.
All I can see is Roxy, the smile on her face before it fades to that blank, scared look she had on the highway. The city is about to go to war. And before the sun rises tomorrow, only one family will be left. Ours. We pull up outside Diamonds and I wait as they get Kenzo. He slips into the car next to me, frowning. What's wrong? He asks straight away, pulling out his phone before I stop him.
She's gone.
My voice is empty, not reflecting the inferno burning inside me. How can I sound that calm when I'm this fucking angry and scared? Scared I will lose her. Scared that the best thing that has ever happened to me will be gone before I can even tell her. Scared to lose my love.
What?
He questions, scowling, and looking over at me. Roxanne, they took her, I rasp. He freezes, his head jerking down to look at his phone as he scrolls through the messages.
What?
He gasps.
No.
He shakes his head as we pull away from the curb.
Yes, they did.
He turns to me then, his eyes outraged. His lips curl into a snarl.
How can you be so fucking calm?
He screams, and then throws himself at me. He always did wear his emotions on his sleeve. I capture his head in my hands, pressing my forehead to his as he struggles and swears.
Brother, look at me.
I whisper, but he's still fighting, so I grip him harder. Look at me, I command, my hands shaking against his skin. He stops fighting then, staring at me. His eyes are lost, scared like mine. We will get her back, I promise you that, I whisper. I'm not calm, I'm anything but, yet I have to hold it together. For you, for her. Now more than ever she needs us. And we need to handle this. We need to find them. Breaking down will not help, not now.
You promise? He begs, searching my eyes like he used to when I was a child and he was scared. When I swore to protect him. I'll do the same now. Protect him. It's my job.
Because honestly, I don't know if we will get to her in time, and that makes me feel so sick. I want to throw up everywhere, knowing what they will do to her. Every minute counts, but if he needs my lies to function, then he can have them. I promise we will get her back, and then we'll kill every last one of them, I vow. His eyes shutter for a moment, those long lashes concealing him from me as a shaky breath leaves his lips. When they open again, they are hard, cold like mine. It saddens me, but I understand. I can't lose her, he admits, his voice making my heart ache. I wish I could shield him from this. I wish I could keep this from him like everything else. I know. We won't. I need you. She needs you, I tell him, and he nods. We kill them all, he agrees, deadly calm. He's feeling the type of tranquility where you feel too much and you become numb. He's nothing more than the viper now. A cold-blooded snake striking out. In those eyes, I see myself and I see our future. Because if we lose her, the thought even hurts. There will be no coming back. We will cease to exist as we do now. All laughter and love will be gone until nothing, nothing is left but our venom. He moves away and I let him, hiding my shaking hands from him. He needs my strength, not my weakness. Because that's what she is, our weakness. But they don't know she is also our heart, our strength, our reason we fight now. What's our first move? He asks, his voice dead. I stare out of the window, a cruel smile curling my lips. We hunt them across the city, starting at the bottom. Get your gun. It's about to get bloody.
45. Diesel.
You need to calm down. You've already killed four people. Garrett snaps, but despite his words, his hands are clenched and his body is vibrating with lethal intent. I'm not the only one struggling with our girl going missing. My little bird. Mine. And they took her. I will paint this town red. I will kill everyone in it and wear their skin to find her. She's mine! They had it coming, I shrug, wiping the blood from my hands. The last guy, he scoffs, and I look over at him with a smile which he winches at. D, he sighs. He only asked what he could do to help. I didn't like his attitude. I sniff and I feel him staring at me. We'll get her back, D, but you've got to hold on, okay? We will get her back. I'll nod calmly and then look at him again, grinning. I'm going to rip their hearts from their chests and give them to her. That's the spirit, he sniggers. Fucking idiots don't know what they have unleashed. You were one to talk, I grin wider. Why did you beat the shit out of the security guard at the apartment? He scowls then. He let them go, idiot. He's in, I see you, I point out cheerfully, but inside a fire is burning. Like always, it flays me from the inside. But these flames are growing higher than before without my little bird to help control them. They scream for blood, for death, and I'm twitchier than normal. I don't know what is right and wrong, even for me. Garrett is right, I'm already carving a bloody path through the city, but I don't care. When I was hunting my mum's killer, the bodies piled up. And I never even loved her that much. Little bird, she's my world. My goddamn black beating heart is hers and she's mine. Mine! And they took her. The carnage will be unimaginable. They will call me a serial killer. They will all fear me, but I don't care as long as she's back in my arms before the night is through. When I saw the bodies of her guards in the car and her blood on the back seat, fuck! Panic like I've never felt before poured through me. No one gets to hurt her to hear her screams but me! She fought, of course she did. She's a fighter, a viper. She killed them and would have slain them all if she could have, but she couldn't, so I will for her. I will place their bodies at her feet for hurting her. And after? After she will have to survive me, because I am unleashed. We meet Ryder and Kenzo at the warehouse. They have been busy as well. The scent of the ocean wafts to us, which is just behind the dock. The shops are not too far away, but inside the warehouse is an entirely different world. Our security is swarming the place. All of us are together. All of us are furious. All of us are seeking blood. On their knees before my brothers are eight men who no doubt work for the Triad. I don't ask how they found them so quickly, I don't care. I can already feel their screams, their bones breaking in my hands. I ache for their pain, to sate the monster inside me until I get my hands on the bastards who took her. But Ryder stops me as he steps forward and eyes them with disgust. The Triad took something of ours and we won't stop until we get it back. Anyone with any information is to come forward now. You all know something, you work for them. He waits, and the men all shift nervously, not wanting to betray their employers. Ryder loses his patience. Usually he would let Garrett or me do the dirty work, not that he's afraid of blood, but it paints him as the cautious leader. But now, he pulls his gun and suddenly fires, shooting the man at the very left in the head without even blinking, his face cold. The men on their knees shy away, some screaming, some crying. I will kill you one by one until I get what I want to know. And if none of you know it, I will start on another lie. I don't need you alive. I will kill all of you. So I will ask again. Any information? Oh, God. One of them sobs and Ryder shoots him next. Six left. I prowl around them, taunting them, kicking them, needing to feel their pain, needing to make them hurt. Crouching behind one, I stroke his sweaty hair. I would tell him I might be crazy, but he's worse, I murmur to him, as I look up at Ryder and Kenzo. Ordinarily, Kenzo would be smiling, playing the good guy and hiding the viper underneath. He might be soft and romantic for Roxy, but only for her. And she isn't here. The viper is unleashed in him. His face is dark, thunderous with anger. His suit is stripped off and his dice move rapidly through his fingers as he shakes with the need to do something. Anything. Oh no, because I feel it too. Garrett is the same, storming around the warehouse on his phone. No doubt searching for anything. Anyone we can use. Please, he whimpers, shaking with fear, sweat pouring down him. I know nothing, I'm just a delivery. I'll snap his neck and stand as Ryder frowns at me. But he knows better than to try and stop me. Especially with her on the line, my little bird. Just the thought of her has me turning and grabbing the closest man. I roar into his face, screaming into it. He screams back, trying to get away, but it's no use. I need blood. I need pain. Now! Everything's a blur. But when I come to, I'm heaving and my body is shaking with adrenaline. I lift my hands and notice they are covered in blood, as are my arms. I can feel it dripping down my face. And at my feet is the mauled corpse of the man. He's a bloody mess. I glare at the others, and they scream. One even pisses himself, the smell filling the air as I prowl closer. D, enough, Ryder snarls. I scowl at him, but he narrows his eyes. Garrett steps closer to me, watching in case he needs to restrain me. It wouldn't be the first time he tried. Until my little bird came, I did my own thing, only doing as ordered when it suited me. But then she wrapped me around her little finger. One smile, one punch, and I was hers. Her animal, her killer. Diesel, he roars, and I slink away, not far, though. Anyone? Someone shifts, and Ryder sighs, aiming again, and the man screams. Wait, wait, I know something, he begs. Ryder pauses, stepping closer and pressing the gun to his head while I laugh. Tell us. Better tell us, I grin. They've taken one of your safe houses. That's where they're keeping her. That's all I know, I swear. I overheard it, he sobs. Garrett snarls and punches a cement support, which must hurt. Fuck, we have loads of them. Which fucking one? We need to find Daphne and ask her. Garrett turns and without a word shoots all the men as he converges on me. How is she alive? He towers above me, but I've never feared him. I don't know, I shrug. I really don't. I played with her for a bit before I burned her in a building. She was tied down. Fuck, he snaps. She's helping them. We need to get her. Roxy first. She's all that matters, Ryder reminds us, and we all look at him. We need to know which safe house. Call everyone in. Find it. Kenzo doesn't speak, just turns away and stomps to the car waiting for us. I look at the bodies. We should send a message, I murmur. Ryder nods. Do it. I want this city turning on them. Let them know anyone who's helping them is now our enemy and will die like the rats they are. Hunt the bastards down. Make it rain. I grin then. Are you letting me loose? He stares at me as he holsters his gun. Go fucking wild. Make them come to our door, begging for forgiveness while I find the safe house. Garrett, go with him. You need to release some tension. I will warn the police to stay out of our way, he orders, before looking at the car Kenzo went into. I'll find the house with Kenzo. We will have it before dawn. Be ready to move. I glance at Garrett then, and even he looks worried. D, he starts. You heard him. I laugh. Let's play. Oh, fuck, he mumbles. This should be good. For you, little bird. I'm coming for you.
46. Garrett.
I watch Dee play with the man. My own hands are caked in blood, and the pain of my knuckles breaking has long since passed. Ryder gave us permission, and we didn't need to be told twice. I let it all out, the aggression, the hatred. All my emotions pour into the city like a disease, leaving bodies behind. They should never have